Welcome everybody to this Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast. And this time we're going to talk about something really cool, which is essentially getting started with SharePoint Framework. SharePoint Framework was kind of announced in early May, and within early May 2016, and within this webcast, we wanted to kind of quickly walk through what it, does it actually mean from a development perspective. So how do you actually get started? What is the individual bits and pieces and the current tooling? Now, let me be clear, at the time of the recording of this video, the tooling is probably slightly different than it is when it when this stuff actually goes live. So there might be command changes, there might be tooling changes, or there will be improvements in tooling. But what we wanted to do is just briefly show how things work right now in the preview version, and they will be evolving in a much more simplified direction in the future as well. With me today is Waldeck Mastercards, who's going to then do the actual demo on using the SharePoint framework within the preview environments. At the time of the video recording, unfortunately, the SharePoint framework is not available to be used by in general. We will get that available sooner or later, obviously depending on when you're watching the video. Waldeck, any introductions you want to quickly do? Man and a myth.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Waldeck Mastercards. This time around, I am the man and the myth. And I am an MVP. I work at Rancor. And I'm. It's going to be cool to rock and to show you how this new stuff works.
Thanks, Waldeck. And my name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in SharePoint engineering right now. Cool. Let's get actually moving on things. So, first of all, we have the Patterns and Practices community and initiative, and this we will keep on growing this one as part of the SharePoint framework as well. So we are in the middle of kind of figuring out what does it mean from a naming perspective. Do we change the name, or do we introduce a new subname, or what are we actually going to happen? But if you do HTTP AKMS Office Dev BNP, you will land to the BNP landing page, which will have all the links, videos, like a link to this webcast and additional information. And we keep on evolving and updating those links within those pages as well. Typically, the PMP has been more around SharePoint, and obviously the SharePoint framework falls into that category as well. But we're absolutely interested on samples and guidance and patterns with which the community can contribute on the Microsoft Graph and Office 365 development in general, because it all actually ties into Keto. But let's actually get started on the today's topic. So first of all, when we think about the SharePoint, SharePoint has been a really successful for the sake that it is actually a development platform. Back in the time of 2007, we released the feature framework and farm solutions and all of that. And we've been using the SharePoint as a development platform within the enterprise and enterprise scenarios across the world. And we really want to actually embrace that. So we want to build a long-term value-added services for enterprise mobility in the future as well. And the mobility might actually slightly confuse, but it actually is around the fact that we want to provide same capabilities or same experience what the end users are having, regardless of the device what you're using. So you might be using a tablet, you might be using a surface and a wall, you might be using a smaller devices as well. The key point of the SharePoint extensibility in the future is that this is the new SharePoint framework is targeted for first and third parties. And not necessarily everybody actually understands what it means. But in practice, it means that inside of the SharePoint, inside of the Microsoft or in the SharePoint teams, when people are implementing the new experiences for document libraries, for portals, for videos, they will be using the exact same tooling as the community. So there's no more kind of a hidden ways of the engineering to do slightly more than what the community is doing, and the community can take advantage of all of the APIs and extensibility what's available for the first party developers as well.
So is it only for enterprises, or is it also for ISVs?
Absolutely for ISVs as well. Now, the story around the store with the SharePoint framework-based implementations hasn't been yet locked down. So in the first releases, when we our first release, when this will be available, there won't be a Office Store or a SharePoint Store support as such. But we're looking into getting that part clarified in the future. If you do have a relationship with your customers as a partner talking to or working together with the enterprise customers outside of the store, you can absolutely take advantage of the new model as well.
Cool.
And then one of the key principles obviously is to build industry leading client side solutions for on premises and in the cloud. So the SharePoint framework will first be available within the SharePoint Online, but it will be landing in on premises as well. And we're not going to actually say exact timing and exact date on that one, but it's coming to the on premises as well. So you can take advantage of the exact same development experience in SharePoint Online or in on premises. So it's not really an, about having an exception based on your target platform. And obviously, we want to ensure that the SharePoint can have access and easy access on Microsoft Graph and the information what we have in our SharePoint or Office 365 services. And we can easily do full integrations across all of the services in Office 365, but also outside of Office 365. So really taking granted of the web technologies in the best possible way. Good. Quick kind of a intro on these topics. We're going to slightly deep dive on the tooling and technologies what are used during the demo as well. But what we wanted to do with SharePoint Framework is that it's truly built using the open source tooling and based on the industry standards and web stack development. And what we mean with that one is that if you can do web development, in future you can do also SharePoint development. So we want to kind of reduce that or simplify the let's say the complexity of SharePoint development, which it has been in the past. In the past, you needed to understand SharePoint specifics quite detailed. In the future, that's no longer needed, which is a good thing. And as a SharePoint developer, whenever you learned the new development tooling, like Node.js or using the TypeScript or Yeoman or Gulp, you'll be able to then take advantage of all of this open source tooling. You are not limited on SharePoint as a development platform as well. There will be a native Office UI Fabric support, so the UI Fabric will be available for you to take advantage. You don't have to worry about those ensuring that the stylings are properly imported on pages. They will be. Everything will be open source or source open. There's an ongoing discussion around around this one internally, but the source will be at least open in a GitHub. The location is actually under discussion at this moment as well, but it will be available for people to have a look. And internally, we will absolutely build additional set of samples and guidance around the SharePoint framework, using actually the Patterns and Practices initiative as the channel towards the community.
So, given the fact that you can use any framework you want, does that mean that Microsoft will build the Office UI Fabric components for every of them? So we'll have one for React, for Angular, for Knockout, for everything? Or will they be only support for some of them? And the community would have to build components for other frameworks by themselves?
Well, this is an ongoing discussion as well. So there will be definitely a part support for some of them. The styling support will be natively within the pages. And then the actual components, which are part of the UI fabric, that's a slightly different discussion. If you are, for example, implementing an Angular, there is a community initiative already ongoing building those community Angular in the Angular directives for Office UI Fabric and the components. There's an internal work being done on the React components as well, and we're looking into potentially getting that one out as a community initiative as well under the BNP brand. We'll see how that's going. At the time of this video recording, it's pretty early to say exactly what will happen and how fast on this side.
Okay.
Good. One of the things that we wanted to kind of briefly cover on here as well, and Valdek is going to show this one in practice, is the SharePoint Workbench. And this is actually a really cool capability, which is part of the scaffolding or the components which are coming down from the NPM packages. And what it enables you to do is to do local development within your development box, even without an internet connectivity. So we will have a look on that one slightly more detailed during the Valdek demo, but it's essentially a development host for hosting the SharePoint framework web part or client web part. So you're able to kind of have a look on how does it actually work already. If I change following settings, is it reacting on those settings? And there's well, internally in the tooling, there's examples and some that there's places for mocking up data as well. And we'll release the samples around that one as well. So you're able to kind of truly mimic the situation, what would be available within the production environment or in SharePoint Online, as an example.
So is there also a way for us to mock the data in Workbench?
Well, you can absolutely do the mock the data. So you're able to mimic the situation which you would have in the production. It's not technically a part of the SharePoint Workbench. It would be something which you would take into account within your web part development. But absolutely, as part of the framework, you can take advantage of the mocking or you are able to mock the data. Like in the case of a screenshot in here, there's a mock list 1, 2, 3. And I can then mock up the items for those lists if needed for a testing perspective.
Okay.
And this is just to walk through the different commands and different settings when we are doing development, as an example for client web part, then using the SharePoint framework. So just to be clear, we're going to use now Node.js or NPM commands. Most likely at the time when things are going live and fully available, there will be better tooling, and the timing is slightly unclear at the moment. But right now we're using the example commands which are available in the previews internally in Microsoft. And in the current version, if you want to start working with the SharePoint or with the SharePoint framework, you run an npm install generator SharePoint and with the dash G.
Why do you do the dash G?
Well, the dash G essentially means that, well, the whole command, what it actually means is that, hey, an npm is a package manager within the internet. I want to install this generator SharePoint, which is a specific identifier within the npm package manager, to my box, and the dash G actually means that I want to install that globally. So I'm not installing that package only within that particular project where I'm doing development. I want to actually have this package available across all of my web part projects which I'm going to develop. And that's pretty much a command or a switch for the npm. It has nothing really technically to do on the SharePoint framework as such.
Right. So with that, does that mean that you would only need to install that once and then you would be good to go?
Yes. With a dash G, you're installing that once within your machine, and then you're good to go within all of the different projects, which are you taking advantage of this package. Good. So then we're going to do taking advantage of Yeoman, Yo SharePoint, and obviously these commands and all of these might be slightly different when we move forward within the development cycles before we release the stuff. But essentially what that means is we're requesting the SharePoint of Yeoman to start the scaffolding for that particular ID. And after that, we'll ask some details around the web part, what do we want to actually develop, and it slightly depends again on the package details or the functionality details, what are we developing. But that's going to actually create you a web part or project solution structure And Waldeck, if I'm using a wrong wording, just please correct me. But essentially what happens is that you get the structure ready to go for starting development on the Visual Studio Code or whatever is your chosen development tooling.
Yeah, so in a way, basically this is the same as if you would go like new project template, you would pick SharePoint web part, and that would be exactly the same, right? You will get the project, the files, dependencies, everything in place so that you can start developing your code and not building a project.
Yep, yeah, absolutely the right way, good way of putting that. And just to go back on the first command, the npm install, that would be essentially we're adding a NuGet package reference to our development. Well, technically it would be kind of a referring, thinking would be the same if we would be able to add a reference to our development environment so that the template is available. Then we do a Yo SharePoint, which is create a new project in Visual Studio. And then we actually do the development of the web part code. Now, when we're done, or when we have an initial version, well, technically, when you do the scaffolding, you will have a version which you're able to start already testing, and we'll see that during the demo as well. We run gulp serve. Gulp is a task commander, a task manager. Serve is one specific command specific for the SharePoint framework, and that will essentially then start the gulp or Node.js to actually run the solution within your local dev box.
Yeah, so gulp, in a way, you could compare that to MS Build, right?
Sure.
It's a task that you run. You have number of tasks, and with gulp command, you can just run them and do stuff like build project, start, web server, package stuff, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. In the same way as in the Visual Studio, we used to do F5 or select build and run from the build menu. Essentially, gulp serve is doing exactly the same thing. In the Visual Studio projects, that's using MS Build, and that's synced typically if you're doing a web development to IIS Express. In this case, we are synced on a Node.js. And then we can actually, what happens is that it starts the workbench from your local dev box. So you will be served by HTML and assets and JavaScript directly within your local dev box using the Node.js server. And that's there by default, even when immediately available, so you can actually test this flow. And we're going to show that one in a demo as well. Then it's a matter of actually doing development, and obviously you can actually test these web parts or the client web part also in the context of SharePoint, because when you're doing a testing in your local box, you don't obviously have access on a SharePoint data. So if your web part is dependent on something within a site, or it creates lists, or it does something else, you absolutely need to test that one in quotes in the user acceptance testing or pre-production. Or we could call that as a development site collection. But anyway, it would be in an isolated location within the SharePoint Online. And then you do a testing. You make sure that is it fine? Am I fine to actually ship this? Typically, you absolutely do have to do a few cycles of development. So then you do additional changes within a code, and then you go through and test the things. Technically, when you go back on the building of the web part code and doing modifications, you no longer, slightly depending on development preferences and how you do this, but you don't have to execute the gulp serve because you can actually apply changes within your code, and they will be reflected directly on ongoing the customizations which are already available in the workbench. So you don't have to technically restart the gulps, the Node.js if it's already running. And then if we're ready to actually to ship, we do have a package and deploy. So so we will then run gulp package solution, and that will actually package the client web part in this case to an app part. It will create an app file with a reference to specific elements, which will be then deployed to the CDN environments. So the client web parts and the SharePoint framework is highly dependent on the fact that we are actually hosting the scripts somewhere else. It could be actually SharePoint as well, but typically it's a CDN. So you need to actually deploy the JavaScripts to be running somewhere, and those will be then referenced within the app file, which is generated using the gulp package solution. Technically, which one of these you actually do first doesn't actually matter. And you need to make sure that you update the URLs accordingly whenever you're actually kind of planning to ship that client part to be used in the production or without the context of Node.js. Then what we do is that we, right now in the preview mode at least, we manually upload the app to the app catalog. So obviously you need to have access to the app catalog, you need to have sufficient permissions to do this, and after that you can actually take that web part into use within the UI of the SharePoint. Hopefully that did make sense. And we're going to see this one in practice done by Waldeck in a second as well. Good. Moving on things, so let's actually move and have a real-life demo on this one in practice. So how do we generate those files? How is it actually hosted? What's a workbench? And also, what are the options when we are implementing a client-side web part using the SharePoint framework option, using the SharePoint framework? So let's switch to a demo.
All right, so let's have a look at how the workbench and developing on the new SharePoint framework actually work. So before we dive into code, let me show you a web part that I've built and that might illustrate like what you could achieve. So here you see the web part that shows some results based on search. On the right hand side you see the panel in which we can choose like data source, query, the number of items we want to show, and all of that is already provided to us already by the framework. So there are different types of properties that we can have. There is a drop-down list, there is text box, there is check box and toggle, and I think that eventually we will see more types becoming available too. And the great thing about
just to kind of also pinpoint that one, because that's actually super, super cool when I think of it, that the old web part, when you wrote a full JavaScript web part, you couldn't control the whole editor's zone panel. So in this case, yeah. You can.
Yes, and I think it's great the moment you see how reactive it is. So let me just change property here. So let me hide URL. As you can see here, each item shows title, the author, and URL. And if I uncheck the box that I want to show the URL, you see it's gone immediately, right? And the same applies to every single thing that I can check here. So, for example, if I wanted to search not for everything but for documents or marketing, you can see that immediately, based as I type, there's another search query issued, and I see results immediately. So as I tweak the web part, I can see immediately the effect of my work. And I also can change, for example, template, right? So based on what you want to show, you might want to choose a different way to show that on a page. Similarly, as you would do in the content search web part that's already available both on-prem and in a cloud. So these are the abilities that you will have eventually when this ships, that you'll be really easily able to build rich web parts and experiences. So with that, let's have a look how you build that step by step. So let me minimize that, and we will start with a new project. So let's create a new directory. For that, let's call that office-pmp-3, and let's go into it. And then what we do is we say, yo, SharePoint. And what you will see now is that we are being asked how do we want to name our new project. So we will just stick with the that we get out of the box. The alias, we can set it to PMP, PMP, that's an internal thing, that's pre-release, we don't have to, you probably won't see it eventually when the framework ships.
Definitely not, yeah, not that one.
Yes. Yeah, there might be some other things, but that prompt won't be there. And what you see now is that the project unpacks dependencies in order for it to be able to create new projects for us, so that you won't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So, and as you can see, so all that is already here.
And one thing to notice with this one is that whenever this will be shipping, the commands might be completely different. So you really need to be aware of that. So this is a pre-release version, and it happens in a command line. And there will be Visual Studio 2 native tooling for a lot of this stuff as well. So don't take this as a, this is how it's going to be whenever things will be shipped.
Yes, and when we say that you should start earning it, we don't mean learn commands by heart, right? Because they will change. So don't do that, but do learn technology and concepts, right? Yes,
exactly.
All right. So we are going to add a web part. Let's just start easy. And we will call the web part Office Dev Demo 3. We will skip description for what it is. And we won't add framework yet. As you can see, there is a choice from React or none, and it might be that eventually there will be more options available. But currently, in pre-release, we have these two options, so let's stick with none, just to keep things easy. So now the web part is done, let's have a quick look at the code, like what do we get already? And I'm using here, I am on a Mac. I'm using VS Code just to prove that with that new framework, you can build projects on any platform you want. So on Mac, on Windows, everywhere.
Well, to be fair, Waldeck, I think you're not using Mac just to prove the point. You're using Mac because you've been using Mac for a long time, right?
Yes, well, I didn't buy Mac for this new framework.
Yeah, exactly.
I've used Mac in the past, and the great thing is that I can now again build stuff for SharePoint. So actually, the great thing is when you buy a new machine, you might consider buying a Mac.
Hey, wait!
It is an option now.
Absolutely. So the hardware won't be the limiting factor. Which is good.
Yes. Yeah, so here you can see everything that we get already from template, and the interesting part here is source, right? Here is the web part that we build, and here you can see the code itself. Let me just increase that a bit. So, and here is the manifest. So we will dive in these two in a second, but first, let's see how the thing works. So we do that by calling Gulp, our task manager, and in Gulp we say serve. So with that, we basically start our equivalent of IES Express. And as you can see, Gulp builds the project, debugs everything, and I get the error only because of cache, because I've used that quite some time already. And there are quite a few things that I've built in the past, so every time it caches the URL. So let me ensure that I clear the cache, reload the page, and let me remove the web part. At the web part, there is our new web part that we created, and there it is. So here you can see the web part that we have just built. It's called Office Dev Demo 3, just as we called that. And you can see here that we have already we have the ability to change the text or edit it. And just as a proof, when we type something here, it appears immediately within the web part. So we haven't done anything for that. That's already available in framework. We can use that. We can build on top of that, right? And another thing that's perhaps nice to see is that with this new development experience, let me move that to the sides, that whenever you change code, so for example, imagine that here I would change, there's some welcome to SharePoint. We will call that PNP, and I save that. What you see here is that the same text that we edit here in code will appear here. So let me just save that. Wait, and there you see. There you see reload of the page with our text. So that proves that developing with that is really easy, and there's little overhead of doing anything, because you can just change your code, and when you switch to browser, it already has the latest changes available, right? So another step that we wanted to show you is, okay, so imagine this is done. This works, and we want to take the next stage. We want to ship that to EDM.
Waldeck, so, a quick, before we actually get that one, so just to kind of clarify what we're seeing here, the SharePoint Workbench is actually running within a local host. So
yes, you can see that in URL. That's correct.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it was something which came down as part of the NPM NuGet install, and it's actually served right now from the module folders or so on. So essentially, you don't have a dependency on SharePoint, even though it looks like a SharePoint, but it's only for giving that SharePoint feeling when you do a local development. Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes. So that with that, you can see how the web part will fit into the overall experience. But that's basically, as you can see here, just an HTML page that we get as a part of the template that we installed.
Yes. Yep. And then the second dimension on this one is that you can actually do and take granted of the workbench also in SharePoint Online whenever we will ship that to be available within a tenants, so that you can actually do live development within a SharePoint Online in the context of SharePoint Online as well. Because now if you would enter the search query, like in the your example case, the search query, you wouldn't have a search service to hook that into. And you
exactly.
would be...
And- Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And this is exactly the workbench that you talk about, right? So that's the workbench. And here we can see that the extension is changed to ASPX. It is exactly the same page, but it's now ASPX so that we can run that in SharePoint and actually have the access to APIs and the data.
Yeah. And in the case of this search web part, well, what you've done here is that search business logic is actually already deployed to the CDN. You don't have a Node.js running for that one.
Exactly.
Locally.
Yes.
But you can do that as well. So you can actually do development directly in the context of SharePoint, so you're able to access the data directly using JavaScript APIs.
Yes, exactly. And the link to the URL is shown here, right? So here you can see within the manifest of the web part that we build, you can see that it points to a local host, which is now, and I can actually add the same web part. I can add it to Workbench locally or to an existing site, and I can still make it point either to local script that I host that I edit now, or to the one that I already host in production or UAT.
Yep, makes sense. Makes sense.
So is it time for the next step to upload this to CDN?
Absolutely.
All right. So now we stop the gulp task. Let's clear the screen. And now we will take the next step. We'll upload this script to CDN so that we can host that externally. So we call gulp, upload CDN, and that will upload our script to CDN in Azure, in this case. And then eventually, as you can see here, we get a URL that we have to use. Right, so this URL we have to use instead of the URL to localhost that we had here. So let's replace that with our CDN URL. It's okay. And then another thing that we have to do, and currently we have to do it by hand ourselves, but I can imagine that eventually that will be much easier. Right, so there's another piece of code that we have to add, which is here, which will basically cause the framework to load this external script. So let me copy this URL, add it here. And this say that whenever you add the web part to the page, framework should load this external script on a page too. So with that, the next step is, if you remember the flowchart, the next step is to actually package the project, right? So that we can use that in SharePoint. So we do that with another task that's already available called gulp package solution. And what that will do is that we'll create new SPF file, which in a way is the same as a .app, but with some slight differences. So if we take a look at our project here, if we go to SharePoint solution, you can see our SPF file. And this one we have to add to the app log in our tenant. So let me keep that aside. Let me minimize this one. We won't be needing it anymore. We go to the app catalog in our site, and we drag and drop that to our site. So now we actually install this newly created solution in tenant. And mind you, this can only be done by tenant admin, right? It's not like everybody in your org can do that. This is only reserved to admins.
Well, technically, those people who have access on the app catalog,
it could be more than admins.
Yeah, exactly. Technical nuances, but still, absolutely correct.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So the next step is, now that we have this app installed in our catalog, then the next thing that we have to do is we have to install it in a site. And this is just Team site, just as we have it currently, right? This is out of the box Team site, nothing changed about that. So we go to contents, we choose add an app, and we install the newly created app, which is here. So we pick this app, trust it. Okay, it's there. It's installing. You should see it in a moment. Okay, so now we can use the web part that we built in our existing site. So let's create a new page to which we will add the web part. And as you can see, that's the same Team site that you know from SharePoint 2013. And the great thing about the framework is that everything that you build on it, you can use both with new and existing sites. Right, so it's not only for a new experience that is also announced. So here, let's create a new page. We call this page Office Dev PNP Demo 3, created.
Now the interesting part will be that, can we find the correct client?
Yes, that's always the thing. So here we go to Insert Web Part. The web parts that you build are always added to the custom group, and here is the PNP Office Demo Dev 3. So that's
and by the way, part. On that yep. one, obviously, it might obviously currently they will be in a custom group.
Yes.
In the longer run, it really doesn't make that much sense to make sure that everybody is in a all of those are in a custom group, but for now, in a preview version.
Yeah. Yes, currently they are there, and the web part that we have just built is here, so let's add it to the page. And you can actually see the web part that we've built on the new framework, that it works in an existing site, and if we try to edit it, you will see the experience that you already know with a slight difference, and there is the button here that you have to click in order to actually open the new pane that is a part of the framework. And through that, we can have exactly the same behavior changes, like when you type something that it directly appears here in a text, right? So the web part works exactly the same way in both the new and existing site.
Which is absolutely a great thing. Now, again, depending on what time when you're watching this video, this capability might be available within your tenant or it might not. So at the time of the recording, this is only available for a really limited set of preview environments. Just to be clear on that, so that nobody is actually trying to make this happen immediately. So.
Yes. So is there anything else that you would like to add or show me, or is it?
No, I think that's actually sums up the whole thing. And I think that will be highly beneficial to understand the main development process. How do we do that? And like mentioned quite a few times, right now you're running those commands in the command window, which might feel awkward for some SharePoint developers or a Microsoft platform developers, but it actually is relatively natural for web stack development. But regardless of that, there will be absolutely additional tooling, so the abstraction of making those commands and all of that will be easier. So you don't have to memorize them by your heart.
Yep, absolutely.
Good, I think that sums up the demo. So let's actually move back on the slides and close up the webcast. Thank you, Waldeck.
Sure.
And thank you, Waldeck, for that demo one more time. So quick links on the resources side. So here's a link to the SharePoint framework announcement, which was done in early May 2016. In the blogs.office.com. Then there's a second link, which is to a PMP webcast, which we actually recorded together with Stefan Power and Waldeck, where we walked through how to get started on the web stack on the SharePoint development. And that second link, or that webcast, isn't really technically about the SharePoint framework. It's more around the generics about using the web stack within your development. Then there's a lot of additional resources available as well in the internet around these topics, and we'll add some of them absolutely in the video recording, video notes as well. But I think that's it, Waldeck, on this webcast. Anything you want to add still from a demo perspective or discussion perspective?
No, I think it is great to see this new or improved extended model to build extensions. And I really encourage everybody to start preparing now, because when the framework shifts, it would be great if you could start working with that instead of catching up on TypeScript, Gulp, Node, or React, tools that are already available today.
Yes.
So start learning now.
Yes, start learning now. And we will absolutely also, from a Microsoft side, we'll make sure that you have a learning paths written down in our guidance. There's great MVP blog posts out there which are explaining what to learn and what to start learning to be able to start working with SharePoint framework. There might be a small learning curve, slightly depends again from which direction you're coming from. But if you're coming from a farm solutions and jumping on the new SharePoint framework, there's a small learning curve. But if you take the time and really walk through what is actually, like Waldeck said, what is Gulp, what does the TypeScript, how do I actually write TypeScript, how do I use tooling, it actually doesn't take that long to really understand the process. In the end, we're looking at is the development in on-premises in farm solution, or is it actually in client side in JavaScript? It's just a syntax difference, and there's some disconnectivity or considerations as well, but the logic is still the same when we're writing code. Good, I think that's it. So thank you, Waldeck, for joining me once again on the BMP webcast, and we'll come up with a new one sooner or later.